Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's going to be a warm day. Greetings to you all this morning on this Australia Day, a day that has different meanings for different people. Paul in Acts is recorded as saying in Athens some things about God. The God who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth. God is not served by human hands, as if God needed anything. Rather, God gives everyone life and breath and everything else. And then a bit further down, for in God we live and move and have our being. And I kind of understand that that relates to everybody on the face of the planet. And Paul also wrote that there is no longer Jew or Greek. You could add to that, or Muslim or Hindu and so on. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And Anthony Albanese last night at the Australian of the Year Awards said, of all of Australia's resources, none is greater than our people. I think that's a fantastic thing for a Prime Minister to actually recognise. And I hope he really holds that true. And I'm sure the people he met last night and has had conversation with have reinforced that for him. And then this land that we live in, which is an extraordinary place. I love this country of ours. It is just a fascinating, beautiful place. And this isn't a boast, but wherever I go, I can sense God's presence, whether it's driving across the Hay Plain or down through the Murray Mallee on the way to Melbourne or on the top of Mount Kosciuszko where I've been. There is such extraordinary beauty all around us. And in a sense, that beauty belongs to all of us, and particularly to the First Nations peoples and their understanding of the land and their love for the land and their understanding of a presence of God in the land. And so the challenge for me this morning was, how are we going to start the service? And most of our songs aren't perfect in what they express. I hope you realise that. Some of them come really close. But we're going to stand and sing as we celebrate who we are in God, who we are as Australians and part of this extraordinary nation of people and beauty. And I know there's ugliness that is there at times, but I hope our focus as we live our lives is the love of God that has possessed us and taken hold of us. And we live in a land that is truly blessed by God if we will but take notice of it. So let's stand and sing. Here we go.
This is our nation. This is our land. This is our future. This is our home. Southland of the Holy Spirit, land of red dust plains and summer rains. to the sunburned land. We will see it afar to this great south land. Our nation, this is our land, this land of plenty, this land of hope. The richest harvest is in her peoples. We see revival, His Spirit comes. This great south land of the whole. Red dust plains and summer rains to this sunburnt land. We will see a flood to this great south land. Spirit comes. This is our nation. This is our land. This lucky country. Holy Spirit, land of red dust plains and summer rains, to this sunburned land we will see a flood, to this great south land the Spirit comes. This is the great south land of the Holy Spirit, land of red dust plains.
Lord, we praise you and thank you for this land of ours, this place we call home, a place of extraordinary beauty. We give you praise and thanks, Lord, for the people of this land of diverse cultures and religious faiths, of backgrounds. We give you thanks, Lord, for all of life and the gift of life that you have given to us and the presence of your Spirit throughout this land, throughout our lives, permeating our lives, moving in us and through us and around us. We praise you for the red dust plains and the summer rains, and the challenges of flood and bushfire, and all that goes on, Lord. But for it all, we give you praise and we give you thanks. Amen. Was a masterful and is a masterful songwriter. He wrote those words, "And I, as I wait, I will rise up like the eagle." And it occurred to me as I sang those words the second time through that an eagle rising up is not doing it in its own strength. It's taken by a current of air. And all it has to do is hold its wings out and up it goes. And that's our story. That's the metaphor for us as well. It's not rocket science or whatever in our relationship with God. It's just being available and saying yes and praising and thanking God for all of life.
Praise Him, that's why we sing, that's why we are.
because he gave his everything.
That's why we praise him.
That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, because he gave his everything. Because he gave.
Sit down, you guys.
No, don't sit down.
15 minutes.
Yes, sit down. We'll do the greeting of peace in a little while. It's somewhere else. Notices. We've got some notices. Surprise, surprise. Just a reminder that next Sunday is the 2nd of February and live streaming will commence again. So we haven't been live streaming across January. We've just been recording the services using the camera. And thanks to the team at the back desk that do all that stuff. They are really excellent people. Okay, so some notices. Friday Friends, next Friday, 31st of January, here at the church, 10 a.m. to 11:30, if you're wanting to come along for a coffee and a chat, then this is the place to be next Friday morning. This Thursday, 30th of January, is enrolment day for Creative Connection with Varel and her team. That's from 10 until 11:30, and then the classes begin the following Thursday on the 6th of February. And that's all I've got to say about those things. Now, Rob, you wanted to...
Yes, I have.
...say something?
2 weeks ago, in a rash comment, because very occasionally I make rash comments, I mentioned that day that it was Malcolm's birthday, and I said, oh, we could probably have a cake for when Vanessa comes, which was last week, and I forgot. So in an effort to make amends, we will have a cake to celebrate Malcolm's birthday. If you want some of it... I've got you. If you want some of it, you have to come to Friday Friends. There won't be enough for everybody. There won't be enough for everybody.
It'll
it's not going to be a big cake.
Yeah, I know. It's a big cake. Everybody's going to be okay.
Crumbs, it's not going to be that big. No, there'll be crumbs left over for anybody who wants to give. But there will be amends. And now I've made him really embarrassed.
Now, just like a show of hands to indicate who's going to hold Rob accountable for that cake now.
That's right, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No, I've
make him feel guilty.
I've spoken to my cake creator, and she has said that that's okay. So she creates it, and I find the stuff, the ingredients in the pantry, and get them for her and stuff like that. So there will be a cake, and we will sing, and we'll make him really embarrassed.
But you can't have your cake and eat it too.
No, that's right. I won't.
Okay, Marge.
You follow that, Marge.
But it's good that we had a little laugh there, because I'm bringing some good news this morning. I had a phone call from Elaine last night, quite late, and she's just rejoicing and just wanted me to express her thanks for the love, the support, the care that she and Bob have had over this last week as Bob faced very significant and very dicey surgery on his heart. It wasn't your normal run of the thing, but there was a specialist doctor who was brought in, and he said to Bob, this may not work, and sort of be prepared that it might not work, but praise God, it worked. Bob was awake last night. The surgery was on Friday, but they kept him asleep. He was awake last night, and Elaine had just come from the hospital and was totally elated, as you would imagine. So thank you to everybody who prayed, cared, loved, no matter how far the distance was. Elaine felt every bit of it, and we just say thank you to our God who is present in these really tough times when we don't know where it's going to go, but praise him, it came out really, really well. So Elaine hopes that at least she will be at church next Sunday, but she was going to spend the time with Bob this morning. So that is really good news. Thank you so much. The second thing I want to say is actually a request. If you are aware, Leon used to organise the helpers to hand out communion. Well, Leon not being with us and not so well, and he isn't very well, we need to do something about it. So we would like to, the council would like us to get a roster together. So if you would be willing to be on the roster to simply help with serving communion that one Sunday in the month, would you please speak to me afterwards and we'll get a roster together so that we can cover that as well. We're in the state of covering, thinking outside the square, doing all sorts of things to keep us going at a good pace through 2025. So watch out.
Welcome.
Further to the news that Marge has just shared about Bob, David was talking about the eagle soaring, and it reminded me of an occasion when Judy and I were flying from Nhulunbuy to Jabiru in a little Cessna, Missionary Aviation Fellowship Cessna. And it was wet season and there were big storm towers which the pilot was having to weave between to get us home. And at one stage, Phil yelled out, "Look out to your right," and we looked out to the right, and below us were two huge eagles. We flew above them. And Elaine, on the phone last night, was above the eagles.
Thank you, Malcolm. Irene, thanks.
Morning, everybody. So, our special day today, where we rejoice in the freedom that we have in our country. We're free from wars, and we're able to worship in peace. So I'd like to start off with a verse from a song that probably some of you will know. We are one, but we are many, and from all the lands on earth we come. We share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australian. And to begin our prayers today, I'd like to start with a quote from St. Teresa as she carried out her mission in Calcutta. She said, "The greatest disease in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. The only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is the love of God." And we all agree with that. So let's pray. We come to you aware of your goodness and grace. And we see, as we live in our faith in you this morning, but also with hearts that are crying for the state of the planet on which we are living. The many wars, the destructions, the depravities, the hatreds, the diseases, the hunger, and the poverty. But despite all of this, we have hope also, and we remember the verses in Ecclesiastes. That's it. Verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to live, and a time to die. And with each day that we live upon this earth, we come closer to you. We look forward to our resurrection when your angels appear to lead us home to you. We will rejoice in your grace and in the presence of those whom we have loved and who have preceded us to the life everlasting. We will be home. Please take this quiet moment to remember those within your families who are suffering at this time or have received their resurrection in Jesus. And as we pray, let us remember Sue Cook, Leon Magrin, and Bob. God of grace, hear our prayers. We praise you, Almighty God, for your worldwide church. We lift to you with our compassion church partners who faithfully serve their communities by coming alongside the women, the men, mothers, fathers, children, young people, and their families. Thank you for their skills and commitment to sharing your love. We pray that church families of all denominations around the world may joyfully live out their faith with love, bringing glory to you. Loving Lord, we lift up to you those who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. So many people are facing all kinds of trials due to ill health, conflict, poverty, and injustice. Please comfort those who are in despair and help your followers to be moved with compassion to share your love. As Jesus teaches us in his Lord's Prayer, we ask that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please join with me as we recite his prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ, Son of God, hear our prayers.
We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord. And as I've said a few times before, it's a great opportunity to offer ourselves to the Lord with a great old hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
To us.
Let us give thanks. Gracious God, we have so much more to thank you for than the gifts that we bring. Gifts expressing our gratitude. Gifts expressing our love. Gifts expressing our faith. Together with anxieties, Lord, we bring them all. And we say thank you. Touch these gifts with your powerful spirit of healing and transformation for all people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's reading is from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own son who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And then from verse 34 to 35, a new command. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." This is the word of the Lord.
You know, you are a rowdy lot. I have a dear, dear friend who used to regularly get upset because people had come into church and they'd sit and talk. Because that's not what you were meant to do in church. Over a period of some years, that changed. Oh, what a relief. What a relief. Well, how do other people see us, do you think? Do you ever wonder? "I give you a new commandment," says Jesus, "to love one another. Just as I've loved you, so you should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Anyone ever had difficulty loving another member of the congregation? A couple of you are courageously honest. And I've heard a dear friend of ours who's married to a minister, and we were in teachers' college, 1959-60, that's a long time ago, isn't it? And I remember her saying one day, "Yes, but all Christians love people. That's what we do." And I struggled with that because I knew a little bit about myself and I'm still learning. And sometimes I've come home from church council meetings thinking, I don't ever want to go back again. I'm not mentioning any names. But doesn't love have so many meanings? the love that we have for our husband or our wife, or as part of the modern language, those people who are significant others. And those of us who have husbands and wives, some of us have significant others, people who are highly important in our lives, and we love them deeply. And that's okay. What about the love we have for our children, especially when they're teenagers? I hate you! And our friends. And we remember and cherish our friends for their loyalty and our ability to love them when they let us down. And vice versa. Our neighbours. We love our neighbours. That's a different kind of love, isn't it? And we love the dear old lady who lives next door to us, who refuses to remove the palm trees, and we're forever cleaning rubbish out of our gutters. How do you go loving your enemies? And you might say, well, I don't have any enemies. What about those that you vehemently disagree with? And I've lived in the church all my life. As you know, I'm a PK, preacher's kid. And I met a nurse talking the other day, and she said, we were on that panel together with the nurses' development course. I said, yes, you're a PK. And another nurse looked at us and thought, what are you talking about? And Julie said, a pastor's kid. See, we don't always enjoy being what we are. Who are you? Who are you? What about our love for criminals? I've spent my share of time in jail for the right reasons. Believe me. And sitting in a prison talking to someone who has committed an horrendous, repulsive crime is rather difficult. And this particular occasion, I was there in two roles. I was there as a police chaplain who was asked to comfort police officers who dealt with that case. I was there as that man's minister who was ministering to a shocked and horrified congregation. And when I walked in, he said to me, he'd just been sentenced and put in prison, and he said to me, well, Malcolm, what do you think? And I said, I'd like to punch your lights out. And that's exactly how I felt. I don't want to go into the details, but I've been in a lot of fights in my life. And there are times when I've been sorely tempted to do it again. But I didn't. And we sat down and we talked. He didn't want to pray. That was beyond him. And it was beyond him for me to pray for him there. There was a different kind of love there. It was a tortured love. It was a strained love. And it was a love that when I talk about it now, it still affects me. Many, many years later. Some of you have heard me tell the story of a man when we were doing peace building in Bougainville at the end of the Civil War, who in a sago palm church packed with people identified himself as someone who had killed another person in that village during the war. He identified himself. And after that happened, Joel, my translator on the day, said, I think it's time for us to break for lunch. And we broke for lunch, and the two of us, the two men in our group, went for lunch, and we ate salad and mountain stream yabbies. Cheap food. Delicious. And somebody came in and said, the men haven't had lunch yet. They want you to come back into the church. And we went back into the church. And that man who had sat alone in the back and identified himself as a killer was sitting at the front of the church, surrounded by the men of the community. That's a love that I cannot describe and I cannot define. But I've seen it and I've felt it. What do we think of a killer? How do we see a killer and those related to that killer who love him? What is the love that enables us to love those whose actions and standards we find abhorrent, people who are racist, abusive, deceitful? And a question for you, whom do you find hardest to love? I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up and say who it is, but I want you to think about it. Who do you find hardest to love? Because there are people who are hard to love. And sometimes we get a knot in our gut when we know we have to face those people. You know the feeling? But this is what we think of others. What do they think of us? Well, we're Christians and we're okay, so we can move on to the final. No, we can't. What do they think of us as individuals? What do they think of us as a Christian group? What do they think of us as Australians? If you've watched the tennis in the past few days, you know that Australians can be pretty horrible at times. There are two sides to every argument, and I'm not going there. But Australians can be horrible. If ever I said anything political in one congregation in my sermons, you could bet your boots the local MP would be at church the next Sunday or the one after that. And he had a favourite saying that this or that or they are un-Australian, and I would challenge that, and I thought, well, what is un-Australian? We're a mixture of good, bad and indifferent. We do all sorts of things as Australians. So what does it mean to be un-Australian? I don't know. I think it's a crazy term. And he would jump up and down, turn up to church. I think he had a spy. They will know that you're Christians by your love. And already I've tried to canvass that we show our love in such a wide range of ways to a wide range of people. I was talking to David this morning. I'm not going to dob you in, but David, he's very dobbable, isn't he? David said, how's the dog going? Elton. And I said, the last couple of weeks, we've had an invitation to start working in the psych ward at the hospital. And already there have been profound experiences. And last week, he was lying on the floor, people were talking to him, and a lady came in who was obviously very unwell. And very quietly she said to me, "Can I get down to his level?" And I said, "Yes." And she melted down to the floor with the dog. And I was fighting tears, but you know I'm a wuss, don't you? I cry easily, and that's okay. It doesn't bother me anymore. There is so much about love that we must continue to learn and practice throughout our lives. It's like a diamond that you can keep turning endlessly throughout our lives and find a new facet, a new gleam, a new beauty with every turn of our hands. And we never cease to learn more about the qualities and the quantities and the expressions of love if we address it seriously in our lives. Now, I think it was David earlier said, what about Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus, etc.? Do they know what it is to love? Having worked with some of those religious groups, my answer is yes. There are groups within every religion who are not very loving. And sometimes we Christians fail. We're not loving all the time. You know, the Rastafarians, you know, you all know about Rastafarians, don't you? And they have those long dreadlocks. And they believe that black people are God's chosen race. Isn't that interesting? Our whole missionary enterprise to show coloured people the way to God. Are there any Mazda owners here? Any Mazda owners? You're the people I need. What is other than a motor car and a motor company? What is Mazda? A liability. Well, we won't go into that, Ian. A Mazda is a god. The Zoroastrians. And Ian, it's a god of harmony, intelligence, and wisdom. Oh dear, sorry. Not in a long time. And isn't our God, as we understand him and as we practice our faith, one of harmony, intelligence, and wisdom? And there's this path of love to which we are called, of thoughts, words, and deeds that enrich. I read an incredible little saying this week which says, you know, love is a passport. Love is a passport. It gives us entry to another place, to another person, to another relationship. And you don't need to go to the government to get a visa. Love is a passport. It is the best expression of the presence of Christ And that's what we hope people will see in us, the presence of Christ. In ministry and in duties in my lives, and we repeatedly say life's an adventure, I've been to more of these places than Judy has, but Bougainville, Papua New Guinea, Thursday Island, Tanzania, China, Hong Kong. And there I've exercised ministry, not just been a tourist, been there as a minister. And tried my utmost to be an expression of the presence of Christ. And you know, I have learnt so much from people of other cultures. Our own Aboriginal culture, where I was a minister in the territory, where people taught me so much about the love of God. So much. For which I'm grateful. And all of those people who have shown me that love have enriched my lives. Some years ago, when the homosexual debate was really hot and fiery in the Uniting Church, a man left the congregation where I was minister, and said some surprisingly cruel and crude words about homosexual people, and that he was going to another church and he would never be back. It was less than 2 months later he came to church. And I said to him, "Oh, it's good to see you. Lovely to have you visiting us." He said, "No, I'm back." And I didn't need to ask him why, because he told me as quickly as he could, "I like your preaching, and this is where my friends are." Nothing more needed to be said. I didn't need to preach to him or absolve him. I needed to encourage people to include him and love him. And that was a similar thing when we were teaching English on a Saturday to Afghani refugees at Murray Bridge. They were working in the abattoirs. And one Afghani man started coming to church. And he was in the English class, and he would come to church on Sunday morning and join in, talk to people, practice his English. And he came to me one day and he said, "Malcolm, some of my Muslim friends are very angry with me. And they're saying, why are you a Muslim going to the Christian church?" And what was his answer? "I love the music and the people are kind to me." He's still a Muslim. He's still in South Australia. People that I know have followed him. I haven't. But I know he's around somewhere. "I love the music and the people are kind to me." So he saw Christians through those eyes. He sees us through those eyes. We, with all our beautiful gifts and all our wonderful personalities and all our imperfections, people can say they are lovers. You ever seen yourself as a lover? people say to me about Elton, boy, he just snuggles up to me, and I say, golden retrievers are lovers. And that's not my word, but dogs are like that, aren't they? Love one another. As I've loved you, so you are to love one another. And people will know that you are Christians by the way you love. Not just because you use the word love, but by the way you practice love. Let's pray. Gracious and almighty God, thank you for those who have loved us into the kingdom, who have loved us into peaceful places, who have loved us into spaces where we have been restored and reconstructed and redirected. Thank you for those who have loved us out of darkness into light. Christ and his people, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've learned a few lessons about love in my life. One was a shocker for me. Came out of the conversation Jesus had when someone once asked him, you know, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And he bounced the question back and said, well, you know the commandments. What do you say? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the shocker for me a few years back was the reality that I do not love God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. It was quite a challenging moment. Love your neighbour as yourself. And that was a challenge as well, but it seemed a bit easier than loving God. But I realized in that perhaps it should be read to love your neighbor as if your neighbor was you. And that changed the dynamics for me. And then most recently, God challenged me on loving members of my family. And Chris and I have been married 47 years this year and have always loved each other. But God spoke to me, I think, and said, you are to love your wife and your children and your grandchildren in the way that I love you, David. And God loves me as I am. And I am to love my family, wife, children, grandchildren, as they are. And I'm imperfect. Did you know that? I stuff up all the time. But it doesn't change my understanding and knowledge of God loving me. And that I can respond to that love. We can respond to that love. Enough said. Let's stand up and sing together our final song. 1, 2, 3.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one.
We're going to sing another verse of that after the benediction. Is that right, David?
Or the chorus. We can sing both.
After the benediction, we're going to sing another chorus. And anyone who would like to come forward in the spirit of prayer while we sing, please come. Grace, mercy and peace from God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us, each one, today and forever. Amen.
Oh, praise to the Father, from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one, and they'll know
a wonderful day.